Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The NFL Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET.
I'm just about that action, boss.
You have to be kidding me. That is impossible.
I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants it, do it.
Welcome in to another episode of the NFL Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's Monday. That means he is Ryan McIntyre. I am Rod Villagomez, and we are here today to break down most of the week that was week 13 that we're in now of the NFL season. One, Ryan, where the hell did the season go? And two, what the hell did we watch this weekend? There was so many great games happening all over the league this week and some exciting stuff going on. And I mean, wow, right?
Yeah, no, I feel like we say that every week. Wow, the NFL never disappoints. And like you said, 13 weeks in, it's sad. It's only 5 weeks to go. Before you know it, we'll be previewing playoff games here shortly.
Previewing playoff games, but as most Spring League folks know, the seasons never end because once the NFL season stops, then we have more to go. But this is not the Spring League Gambling Podcast. This is the NFL Gambling Podcast. And Ryan, over the last few weeks, I've grown accustomed to saying happy Victory Monday, but unfortunately, it's just not the same ring because it's not, you didn't lose, but you didn't win.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to figure out what a tie really means. It's like kissing your stepsister is what they say. That's how I feel. It's gross. You tie, you want to win. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not the worst thing in the world because both teams are still in the playoff race. So I think Washington and New York, the rematch being in 2 weeks, that'll be pretty much for all the marbles on who will decide this NFC wildcard picture, I think, the final spot.
It's 2022, Ryan. Can we just not do the tie anymore? Like, let's go to penalty kicks. I don't care. Let's let the kickers just kick it out from like the 25-yard line and see who misses first, right? Or we just have them like try to block each other's kicks. I don't know, something creative like that.
No, I agree with you. I hate the tie. I think it's awful. I'm not the biggest fan of the college rule where they just do 2-point conversions, but I'd rather have that if it means we have a winner versus everybody walks away not knowing if you should be happy or pissed. So
I don't care if it's a hopscotch contest. Like, honestly, I don't care what it is. If it's Rochambeau, like, as long as it's somebody on the field deciding who wins versus, oh, well, nobody able to score, so I guess we'll just call it a tie.
Yeah, no doubt. I know it is World Cup season. I know the World Cup's going on, but we don't need – this is American football, not that other football.
Exactly. It's called soccer. Thank you very much.
Yep.
All right, let's not dwell on ties anymore. Let's get to the facts that people won and lost this weekend, and it began on Thursday night with the Buffalo Bills edging out the New England Patriots 24-10 in a game that saw Buffalo as 3.5-point favorites along the line, depending on where you got them. Some places there was five-point favorites. I mean, obviously they covered all of this, but again, it was Buffalo coming out on top of New England 24-10. I mean, this wasn't close, but I don't feel like the Bills played their best football on Thursday night.
No, I thought it was more New England just isn't very good right now, especially not very good offensively right now. Struggled throughout the night. Mac Jones finishes under 200 yards passing for the evening. They kind of they ran the ball efficiently, but they didn't run it as much. For the Bills, I mean, business as usual, get a win. And then they got some help yesterday, and all of a sudden they're sitting up top in the number one AFC number one in the AFC playoff picture.
Yeah, and so for them though, you want to think that you have to exert yourself more with some of these games that you feel like you should win bigger. I mean, obviously, New England, you got to go in there, you got to wipe the floor with them. 14 points is not bad, I guess, but by the same token, what we just saw last night, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, that's how you make a statement, right? You don't go beat the Patriots by 14 points on Thursday and say that you're one of the better teams in the league. You go out and do what you did last night. That's how you prove that you're one of the better teams in the league. So, look, all I'm saying is that we know things to be true. We know Stephon Diggs, good at football. We know that Josh Allen is... At this point, Ryan, I want to know, because we tout Josh Allen as an elite-level quarterback, and he's shown that he can be. He's shown that he is in the right circumstances. But if I read you this line, 22 of 33 for 223 and two touchdowns, that could be any quarterback on any Sunday afternoon. So those games where he's not necessarily the guy that everybody hypes him up to be, you know, it's enough to win football games, but is it enough to win Super Bowls?
I thought if you're a Bills fan, the most encouraging thing is you got the running game going. James Cook, 14 carries, 64 yards. Singletary, 13 carries, 51 yards. Singletary had a touchdown. So they didn't rely as much on Josh Allen running and not taking as many hits. So I think if you're a Bills fan, that's what's encouraging going forward. But Josh Allen does need to be better through the air. But in this game, he didn't have to be.
No. And I guess that is the good thing, right? I am a little bit irritated, though, that Singletary did not get as many carries as he should have, in my opinion. James Cook was just doing so much better, but he blew Devin Singletary, Ramondre Stevenson prop bet that I had of both of them going over like 130 some odd rushing yards combined. And I mean, Ramondre Stevenson, 10 carries, 54 yards. I mean, kind of got you halfway there, but Singletary just let me down.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, all right. I mean, look, like we said, going forward, now this makes New England's task of trying to be relevant that much more difficult. They are now 6-6. Buffalo is now 9-3. So, I mean, do with that what you will at this point. It's just a matter of can Buffalo compete with the Kansas Cities? Can they compete with the surging Bengals at this point? So what do they do with them, right?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, the main thing for Buffalo now, you got the gift, finally Kansas City lost, no let up. You got four games left pulling up their schedule there. They got the Jets coming up, so they need to take care of business. Then they get their bye in week 15, which is a late bye. I mean, I don't remember it ever being a week 15 bye, so that's unique. But, yeah, no, take care of business against the Jets, get your payback. You come out of the bye week, and you go to Chicago. You should take care of business there. And then that sets up a huge matchup in Cincinnati in week 17 to start the year 2023. And then you finish with New England. So you win your last four games, you're the one seed. So it's pretty simple for Buffalo. That's all they can ask for.
Indeed. All right. The over-under on this game was 44.5. Did not get there by a full 10 points. Obviously, like we talked about, Buffalo not necessarily playing up to the offensive standards that most Buffalo fans are used to. So under hit, if you are a under better on Thursday nights, which, I mean, as history has proven, you probably should be at this point, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
all right, well, let's talk about those damned New York Jets. They are now 7-5 after a loss to Minnesota, but don't think that they did not give it the old college try as they lost by 5 points. Minnesota coming in this 3.5-point favorites in most places, so obviously covering the spread in that instance. But again, 27-22 were the Vikings. They were victorious over the Jets. This was one where Kirk Cousins was I don't think he liked that. I don't think he liked his game at all. 21 of 35, 173 yards passing and a touchdown. Just not necessarily a good game for the offense, but they still managed to win, which is, I guess, really just so much what the Jets were losing this game more than it was the Vikings winning.
Yeah, no, business per usual for these Vikings. They find ways to win games. It's never sexy for them. But, I mean, they're 10-2. Ironically, they're going to Detroit next week, and they're a dog currently. So it kind of tells you what the market thinks of it. But, the Vikings just continue to find ways to win close games. And Kirk didn't have his best stuff, so for them to win a game where they didn't play their best ball over a quality opponent kind of just sums up the Vikings this year.
Yeah, again, it's just find a way to win, and now they are 10-2, which, you know, definitely, whatever you think about it, they're still top of the NFC, right? They're still right there with the Eagles as far as where they're at record-wise. Talent-wise, everybody can argue whether or not they think the Eagles are runaway favorites, but Minnesota, all that counts is whether or not you win, right? That's all that matters. It doesn't matter how pretty it is, doesn't matter how you dress it up. A 10-2 record is still a 10-2 record in the National Football League.
No, I agree. And I still think there's some regression. I'm kind of a Vikings hater, but you know, I tilt my cap when it's deservingly so, and they're 10-2. They're right on pace with the Eagles for the one seed. They need the Eagles to have a hiccup or two coming down the stretch if they want any chance at getting that number one seed. But Vikings one win away from clinching the North already.
Hey, listen, a couple of actually, I guess, encouraging stories coming out of the New York Jets camp is that Mike White threw for 369 yards. He didn't throw any touchdowns, but 369 yards is not bad. I know that a lot of that was, you know, them trying to do it. But more importantly, I like what I saw out of Zonovan Knight. 15 carries, 90 yards, that 48-yard scamper. I mean, look, I think he's a legit talent, and the fact that Carter's down, I don't know that the Jets lose anything in their running game if they continue to use Knight.
Yeah, no, I thought that I think the Jets are all right with Mike White going forward. Clearly the locker room likes playing with him. And I mean, they're sitting right there in the 7th seed right now in the AFC, 7-5 overall. So kind of like a bunch of teams, the ball is in their court. They got a chance. Got a big one with Buffalo that we already touched on. But after that, the schedule got some favorable spots against the Lions and Jags. So Jets will have a chance to end that playoff drought this year.
So if I told you at the beginning of the week that Garrett Wilson would outperform Justin Jefferson, I mean, I know that Garrett Wilson didn't find the end zone, but 8 catches, 162 yards versus Justin Jefferson's 7 catches for 45 yards, you probably would have thought I was crazy. You probably would have thought those lines were flipped.
Yeah, I would have said the Jets would have blown him out.
Exactly, right? Garrett Wilson, 186 yards. He's just good.
No doubt. Yeah, no, he's playing very well since quarterback change.
43.5, the point total for this one obviously goes over for the Jets and the Vikings. Let's turn our attention to a game that was not necessarily quite as entertaining, and that is the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Denver Broncos. Baltimore eking out, and I mean eking out, a 1-point win over the Broncos, 10-9. Denver was 9.5 or 8.5 point underdogs, depending on where you had them. So obviously they covered the spread here, but the big story out of this one was Lamar Jackson once again finds his way to not finishing a football game. Stop me, Ryan, if you've heard this one before.
Unfortunately, I have, and stop me if you've heard this before. The Broncos didn't score 18 points once again. So, yeah, this was an awful game, to be honest. But the Ravens found a way to win a game without their quarterback. We'll see what happens with Lamar going forward. It sounds like he's going to miss some times. You can just tell that by the way that on the look ahead to this upcoming week. We'll, by the way, stay tuned. We'll preview the look aheads to week 15. But week 14, the Steelers are a couple point favorites against the Ravens. So it tells me I don't think Lamar's going to play.
And even if he does, again, this is so difficult. When you look at the way they should have dominated this game all the way through, Denver had 272 total offensive yards. That is almost equal to Josh Allen's passing yards in the entire game, maybe 40, 50 off. Obviously, it's, you know, but you cannot win games when you cannot move the ball. And that is what's going on in Denver right now. I don't know. I mean, you go out and you pay Russ to be the guy for you, and nothing's happening. So I don't know what the answer is there. I don't know what you can do now to kickstart this. You can't even say that it's the lack of talent around him, because he's got Cortland Sutton, he's got Jerry Jeudy, he's got talented receivers, and he's got, well, he doesn't have the running back room that he probably should have, but Latavius Murray's no slouch. He's a good running back, right? He's a good serviceable running back, and that's really what you need for Russell Wilson. So, Ryan, put your general manager cap on. What are you even doing now in Denver?
That is the million-dollar question. The first thing, Nathaniel Hackett's going to be out, but I think that they have bigger problems than Nathaniel Hackett. I don't think you're just going to be, hey, flip of a coin and all of a sudden, hey, all right, Hackett's out, new coach coming in, and Russell Wilson's going to look young again. I think it's more complicated than that. He's not played well. I mean, he's thrown as many touchdowns as Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz hasn't played since week five.
What does that say? I mean, that's got to be frustrating for him too, though, because you figure he left Seattle because – he was getting tired of the environment, right? Coming to Denver thinking things would be better, and they're
not. No. So. No, and it's the offense. I mean, he joined an elite defense. Their defense is playing out of their minds. But, I mean, it's just the stats continue. If they're 3-9 overall, if they just scored 18 points every game, they'd be 10-2. So how about that?
I mean, that record still holds true. That trend still is continuing. So that's got to say something. You know, Baltimore, for what I harped on Denver, not much better. 285 yards of total offense for them, total yards for them. And Tyler Huntley accounted for 187 passing yards on 27 completions. But again, I got to say this week after week, because when you say your quarterback cannot be your leading rusher, it usually is that your team just lost. And that's exactly what happened here again with Huntley being the leading rusher. 10 carries, 41 yards. You know, on a team that's predicated on being a triple option threat, I don't see three options on this team to run the ball anymore.
No, I agree. And especially without Lamar, it's going to be interesting to see handicapping these Ravens going forward. 8-4 overall. I think they're going to make the playoffs, although at this point last year they were 9-3 and they lost out and finished 9-8. Or maybe it was 8-3 and they lost their last six without Lamar to finish 8-9. They got the Steelers and Browns both on the road. Those are going to be hard games without Lamar or a limited Lamar. And then you got the Steelers once again. Then you got to go to the Bengals. I kind of lean towards those Bengals to win the AFC North.
It's going to be interesting to see where the futures market rates these guys going forward as far as what their chances
are.
No
doubt.
For the championship or even going for their division at this point. So we will see.
No doubt.
For bookkeeping purposes, hopefully you bet the under on this one. It was 40 points. Just saying.
I think that hit.
I'm. If you were the under better on this one, you were rejoicing all game long. You probably knew it was in the bag right from the get-go. All right, let's turn our attention to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are now 5-7, still have a shot to give Mike Tomlin a winning season if they do some work. I mean,